The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son, our Savior, called a despised collector of taxes to become one of his apostles. Help us, like Matthew, to respond to the transforming call of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, the second chapter. You mortal, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. I looked and a hand was stretched out to me and a written scroll was in it. He spread it before me. It had writing on the front and on the back, and written on it were words of lamentation and mourning and woe. He said to me, O mortal, eat what is offered to you. Eat this scroll and go, speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he gave me the scroll to eat. He said to me, mortal, eat this scroll that I give you, and fill your stomach with it. Then I ate it, and in my mouth it was as sweet as honey. He said to me, mortal, go to the house of Israel and speak my very words to them. For you are not sent to a people of obscure speech and difficult language, but to the house of Israel, not to many peoples of obscure speech and difficult language, whose words you cannot understand. Surely if I sent you to them, they would listen to you. But the house of Israel will not listen to you, for they are not willing to listen to me, because all the house of Israel have a hard forehead and a stubborn heart. See, I have made your face hard against their faces and your forehead hard against their foreheads. Like the hardest stone, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not fear them or be dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house. He said to me, mortal, all my words that I shall speak to you receive in your heart and hear with your ears. Then go to the exiles, to your people, and speak to them. Say to them, thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or refuse to hear. The word of the Lord. Let us pray Psalm 119 responsively. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Make me go in the path of your commandments, for that is my desire.
Incline my heart to your decrees, and not to another shame.
Turn my eyes from watching what is worthless. Give me life in your ways.
Fulfill your promise to your servants, which you made to those who fear you.
Turn away the reproach which I dread, because your judgments are good. The second reading is a reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians, the second chapter. God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that in no way one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. The word of the Lord.
Thank
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th chapter. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at a tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." The Gospel of the Lord. Today we celebrate the feast of Saint Matthew. Matthew is listed in all of the lists of apostles. His name is always on those lists, but it's only in the Gospel of Matthew that he is called a tax collector, and in that reference is given this name. The same story we hear in the Gospel of Luke and in Mark, but that Gospel reports that it was a man named Levi who was called by Jesus, and that this man is not identified as a tax collector. This Levi is called by Jesus, and then he throws a feast for Jesus, for his disciples, and for other sinners. Now, are Matthew and Levi the same person with two different names? Well, it certainly could be so. After all, we know that Jesus liked to give nicknames to his special friends. Simon, Jesus gave a new name, Peter, the rock. Jesus called James and John by a new name. He called them sons of thunder. So it's likely that Jesus would have given this Levi a new name. In Hebrew, Matthew means a gift from God, a very nice nickname for a special friend. But there really isn't much that we know about Matthew's life beyond this story of his calling. But there's a lot of tradition, a lot of legends about Matthew. One is that Matthew was the oldest of the apostles. He was already established in his shady career of tax collecting. He was probably older than Jesus and older than those other apostles that Jesus had called from the fishing life. There are ancient stories about Matthew that report that after the death and resurrection of Jesus, Matthew went on to preach the good news in Ethiopia and in Persia, and that he died a martyr's death. That's why we wear red vestments and have red paraments on the feast of St. Matthew, to recall the blood of the martyr. And as far back as the 2nd century, this gospel of Matthew has been attributed to this apostle. It's the most Jewish of the Gospels. When we read the Gospel of Matthew, we notice that there are many references to Hebrew scriptures, writings that would have only held authority and power for the Jewish people, not for the Gentiles. Matthew's Gospel is kind of a bridge between the Old Testament, the Hebrew law, and the New Testament, the stories of Jesus. Maybe that's why this bridge gospel is placed first in the New Testament. We read, as we're reading the Gospel of Matthew, we hear on the lips of Jesus many times, he says, "You have heard it said." And the author of Matthew's Gospel, Matthew, would be thinking that his readers or hearers would have heard it said. They would have heard it said in their Jewish synagogue services or in their Hebrew schools. So what do we know about this Matthew? That he was an
older gentleman with an unsavory career. But the truth, the most important thing that we know about Matthew is that he was called by Jesus and he followed. Now, other Jews didn't like tax collectors. In fact, you might say that they were despised by the Jews. And for a couple of reasons, and pretty good reasons too. One of them is a rather political reason. The tax collectors worked for the Roman government, for the occupying government. And they got their jobs by convincing the government that they were going to be able to collect more money than the next guy. The second reason that they were despised is more personal. The tax collectors normally charged more than the Roman government was asking for because the tax collector was able to keep anything over and above what the Roman government asked. That was theirs to keep. That's how they got wealthy, off of the money from their neighbors. So you can see why they were ostracized. You wouldn't want to invite this person over to your house for dinner. The company that Matthew and the other tax collectors kept was not good company. It was the other folks in society who were ostracized as well. Maybe Matthew's friends were bankers. Bankers were considered outside the law because in the law, the Hebrew scriptures, in the book of Exodus, it says that one may not charge interest on loans to the poor. Well, that's exactly what bankers did. So they were considered sinners and ostracized as well. There's a number of passages in the scripture where tax collectors are lumped together with other groups of people. We read tax collectors and sinners. Tax collectors and prostitutes. Tax collectors and unsavory sort of folks. You can understand why Jesus was criticized for hanging around with Matthew and his friends. But this is the man that Jesus calls. All three scripture references, the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, tell us that Jesus called this man, Matthew Levi, and said, "Follow me," and he got up and followed him immediately. It looks so simple. The word comes and it's immediately obeyed. Now, if we had read this morning the first 8 chapters of Matthew's gospel, we would have not thought that this word and obeying was such a surprise. There are many times in the gospel, in the first 8 chapters, where the word is spoken and obeying happens immediately. For example, the wind and the sea obeyed God's word, Jesus' word, and were stilled. Jesus spoke and he was obeyed. He spoke the word and the demons left the possessed person. He spoke the word and the paralyzed man, who had already had his sins forgiven, got up and walked. When Jesus speaks, his words have great power and authority over nature, over demonic powers, over sin and disease. Does the word of Jesus have that same power and authority over human beings as it does over nature and sin, evil, and disease? Well, it certainly does with Matthew. Jesus speaks, and it happens. Maybe it's easier for sinners, for tax collectors, to hear and obey. The righteous, the good folks, think that they can be saved on their own initiative. They're already doing the right thing, so they don't need a Savior. But it's the sinners, the rejects, the outcasts, those who are ostracized by others, those are the people that Jesus calls. Notice something in how Jesus answers his critics in this gospel story. He overhears the Pharisees talking to the disciples, and he turns around and addresses the Pharisees himself, breaks that little triangle, and talks to the Pharisees directly. And Jesus says that he did not come to be a judge, but came to be a physician. I would think it would be very easy for a physician to be judgmental. There's so many things that we can do to make our lives healthier and to prevent diseases. Physicians really pay attention to prevention, and they will tell their patients what they need to do. Stop smoking, lose weight, get regular exercise, eat healthy foods. We know what we're supposed to do, we've been told. Physicians give us all kinds of wonderful rules to help us live lives better. But when somebody has cancer or emphysema, heart disease or some other disease, and they go to the physician's job is to try and save the patient and to prevent the destruction of the disease. They might think in the back of their minds, boy, this person was not very smart to have smoked for so long or done whatever they did that might have helped prevent this disease. But their job is not to judge, their job is to save. And that's what Jesus says. My job is not to judge, my job is to save. Nowhere in our text does Jesus ask Matthew or the tax collectors or other sinners who were Matthew's dinner guests to repent from their sins. Jesus speaks the word to Matthew, follow me. And Matthew followed. He spoke the word. Our first reading today contains a beautiful illustration of the power of the word. God gives Ezekiel a scroll, the word, and tells him to eat it. And Ezekiel obeys. If we read this in Hebrew, where God says, take it into your stomach, we would translate that, another way you could translate that, is to hold, keep it down. We're going to eat it, and we're going to keep it in. We're going to eat this word and digest it. We're going to eat this word and devour it. Let it nourish. Let it become part of our system. This is what God says to Ezekiel. Eat this word and take it to the people, whether they listen or not, whether they hear or refuse to hear. I love that example. He says, the people that you are going to go to preach to are hard-headed people. Well, they have a hard forehead. They're hard-headed people. But don't worry, I've made your head harder than theirs. It's made of flint, of stone. You have a, put your forehead next to their forehead. Preach the word that you have taken into yourself. When Ezekiel eats that word, the word of woe and lamentation and mourning, he says, it tasted in his mouth as sweet as honey. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord, it says in one of the Psalms. Now, I'm going to give you something to chew on. Ezekiel chewed on the word, and it wasn't so much bit, oh honey, sweet as honey. Chew on this word if your teeth and your diet allow. If not, we don't want the doctor to see us. God said to Ezekiel, chew on this word. Make this word part of your life. And that's what God is saying to us too. Take this word into your heart. Make this word part of your system. Let it become a part of you. Digest it. Let it bring life to your soul. Devour God's word as it forms and shapes you. This is a living word. It's not just an object of study. This word, is a word that can nourish and satisfy
There is sweetness in God's word. Taste this word. Did you get him? Taste this word. Whoops, sorry. All right. This word of God is sweetness and delight. Savor that word. Chew on it. Eat that word. When Matthew heard Jesus say, "Follow me," he got up and followed. But you notice something in that story. Matthew got up to follow Jesus, and Jesus turned around and followed Matthew home. If we're going to use Matthew as our model, this is what we need to do. We need to take Jesus home with us. Take him into our hearts, into our homes. Introduce Jesus to our family and our friends, to those we love and those who love us. Bring him into our lives. Let Jesus see who we hang out with, who we spend time with. And then we can extend hospitality to those as Jesus extends hospitality. Chew on this word. Find the sweetness in the word of God. Jesus says to you today, "Follow me. Take me home with you." A little later in the service, we will hear words of Jesus in the prayer of the Eucharist. "Take and eat. This is my body." Jesus wants to be one with us. He wants to be one with us in the word, in the sweetness of the word that we chew on, that we make part of our very being. He wants to be one with us in the Eucharist and Holy Communion, that we take in, devour the very being of God. God wants to be one with us. He wants to fill us and nourish us. He wants us to taste the sweetness of his word, the sweetness that is God in us. Now, Doris isn't real happy that I just gave you all candy to chew on, and now we're going to ask you to stand up and sing. So hurry up and finish chewing so we can sing. Amen.